This is One on One with the Professional on AM 1400 K1, a sponsored opportunity to talk about the people, products, and services of a local business or political concern. This is a paid interview, and the statements and opinions expressed are those of the guests of the program and not necessarily those of the host or this station.
All right, Ben Nicholas here with you on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3. It is Friday, and Friday we have Capital Call. And even though we're not really calling through the phone, they are here this morning. Representative Earl Sears, Representative Travis Dunlap, and Senator Julie Daniels are all here this morning and just eager to be here. How's it going for y'all?
It's going well, Ben. It's a pleasure. The listeners may not know, this is the first time that I have been here where you have hosted Capital Call, and I'm delighted to see you here.
This is my first time, so hopefully everything runs smoothly and everything goes well. So
it couldn't be easier with the two outstanding legislators on either side of me. We'll take care of the show. It's a very easy show, I think, to host.
Fair
enough.
Politicians always have something to say.
Fair enough. We're looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, let me open up by talking about it was a little bit of a slow week this week compared to the previous week, only because of the way legislative deadlines work. And so I don't know that there's any hot, exciting news that's different from weeks previously, but I wanted to talk about how the House is approaching the budget this year. Of course, budget is the big item that everybody talks about. It overlays and undergirds all the conversations that we have. And this week we had some significant movement on it. We did pass in the House a $34 million supplemental funding bill for DHS, and that was very important for us to do to get them through the end of the fiscal year, and we passed it unanimously after a very contentious debate. I don't know that I've ever heard so much debate on a unanimously decided bill, but we had a good time, or at least some people did. But let me talk to you about what our budget chairman, Leslie Osborne, representative from Mustang, I believe, is having us do in our as House members. Traditionally, we work through subcommittees in the budget to oversee any number of governmental agencies all within a category. So, for example, I serve on the subcommittee for human services. So we cover a number of agencies, Department of Human Services being the largest one, but we also cover the Office of Juvenile Affairs and the Developmental Disabilities Department and a couple of others. Well, each of those departments are traditionally give a report on their budget request every year to that subcommittee. This year it's different. Those agencies are giving in the House a report to every single member through the course of these several weeks. The committees are rotating to hear the reports from the different subcategory of agencies that they weren't assigned to. And so yesterday, these meetings happen on Thursdays, and yesterday I got to hear the reports in the realm of public safety. So this includes things like our district attorney's council. This includes things like our district courts, our Oklahoma Supreme Court. And so there's been a lot of discussions about the appropriations we give those agencies, because a lot of those agencies are highly dependent upon the fees that they collect. And this is something that has been of interest to people all over the country, because this has been a trend throughout the country, and we're seeing that as these agencies in public safety become more dependent upon fees, there's an increasing need to increase those fees, and sometimes that pressure comes more so because of budget shortfall years. And so we are trying to figure out as a committee and have this frank discussions about how that structure needed to change. And as I've said on this show before, that is one of the reasons why we continually have a budget shortfall, because that money does not go to the general revenue fund. And when we talk about shortfalls, that's always in reference to what we get to spend as your representatives. As it is now, once we've set up those fees, we don't really spend that money as your representatives. So you don't get represented per se in that fee collection. It is a user-based fee, though. So in some ways, that the people who use the system pay for it. But these are just all discussions that we're constantly having. And so invite feedback on that. And I think I've probably taken up my allotted time. See, I told you, politicians always have something to say, Ben.
Well, for not a busy week, it sounds like a busy week.
Well, there
you go. But glad things are being done as we're shifting the mic around. What's happening with you, Senator Daniels?
Well, it was supposed to be a
quiet week, and I had two stacks of things on my desk to read and learn about. The largest stack given to me by Representative Sears, and he adds to it every day. But my office was just a revolving door this week of all sorts of different issues, and have you read this bill, and we want this bill or don't want this bill coming over from the House. So I brought my stacks of stuff home to work on this weekend. Going on with what Representative Dunlap said, in addition to that increase for DHS, we in the Senate, sitting as an Appropriations Committee, all the Senate, we passed a supplemental for the Indigent Defense System, which has cases that are dragging on and an influx of new cases, and they can't get through the end of the fiscal year. And then we allowed the Department of the Courts, the Administrator of the Courts, to have maximum flexibility in moving money among their different accounts. If they don't need the money for this specific purpose, but it needs to be used over here, we statutorily are now saying, you know, right now you need to put your money where it's most needed. So to move those monies helps them pay the bills, helps them with cash flow. And significantly, and I'm sure Representative Sears is going to speak to this, we voted to sunset the zero emissions tax credit July 1, 2017. It is not nearly as much as I would like to have seen. In fact, it's very frustrating that we did as little as we did, but it was not without effort because there was lots of lobbying at the last minute to amend it to put the sunset further out. So I'm glad we at least got that done. It won't help us in this budget year, but at least now there's a time certain beyond which we won't have these obligations, and I know Representative Sears can speak more fully to that. And then on a nice side, yesterday we celebrated the 75th anniversary of Tinker Air Force Base, and the general in charge gave a very good speech on the floor of the Senate, and he said something I had not heard before. He claimed that aerospace is now the second largest industry in the state of Oklahoma. We traditionally hear oil and gas, agriculture, and tourism. Mm-hmm. So I do not know how they came up with that, but it does make some sense. We're growing in that area. He said, send us all the STEM engineering graduates you can. I can hire them all. And that population of employees at Tinker is almost the population of Bartlesville, Oklahoma.
Wow.
So that is a huge economic engine in our state. So that was kind of the week for me, and I'll pass it over to Representative Sears.
You know, clean up here. They've just given you some great points, and I just want to come back in and fill in some of them. Representative Dunlap's, in regards to the approach, the budget is just, it's all-consuming. We have other bills, other issues, and they're being discussed, but there's no question with when we return, it'll be April the 3rd, and just two full months left, really 8 weeks, and so the budget will go, not really go into overdrive yet, but the debate, the conversation, the back and forth is definitely continues to grow. And I want to comment about the celebration of Tinker. That was very, very informative and impressive. I think the general's name was Levy, if I remember right. Just did a great job on the House floor. And I caught that as well when he said they were the second. And my antennas went up. And there's no question, I've said on this radio show that the aerospace has a huge presence in Oklahoma, and definitely around the Oklahoma City area. Mm-hmm. So, but I just didn't know it had overtaken at that level. But I'll accept his number. But it doesn't make any difference. It's huge in Oklahoma, and we want that to continue to grow. And they do have a great presence. And again, just doing gung ho in the Oklahoma City area. The other thing I want to comment about the tax credits. Couldn't add much to that other than your entire delegation here that you're listening to this morning, I can assure you, would have been far more aggressive on all those credits. But you got to look at all the issues. It, quite frankly, came down to a compromise. You can be frustrated and be mad, but the good news, and I want to repeat that, the good news is we are out of, by what the Senate did yesterday, passing that bill as is, that came from the House. I'm confident the governor will sign it. The good people of your district, of our three districts, you need to know we are out of the zero admission business. That, if we hadn't have got out of that, would have continued to cost us hundreds of millions of dollars. So it is a great victory, but all three of us would have liked to have more on the other side. Representative Dunlap had a bill, I had a bill, and quite frankly, Senator Daniels was the co-author of my bill. But anyway, it was a good victory. Two quick things I'd like to talk about, and this could, you, you know, we can have an open debate about this, but there is no question our economy needs to recover. Oil industry is doing better. Unemployment is down. There are good economic signs in our state. But we still took a huge step yesterday. The Senate's already passed it. I have the bill. It'll be on committee on Monday, and we are, hopefully, my colleagues in the House will support me and what the Senate has done, and we're going to repeal the tax credit that, depending on how the money comes in next year, another revenue drop would be there. Not a revenue drop, but a revenue income tax reduction. It would go to 4.85. I'm all about reducing taxes, but I think we have to have a well-thought-out plan, the economy doing well. And it's just, right now is just not the time. So instead of putting it on hold or putting it on the shelf, we're repealing that to come back to live to fight another day in regards to tax policy. But I am confident, and I hope my members will join me in the House, is that this is the time to just stop this trigger right now and repeal that, and come back another time to have this conversation on the income tax reduction. The other one is, you're reading a lot. You're seeing probably quite a bit of information in the paper about the rainy day fund, how we had to go in and take those funds. The Senate and the House had nothing to do with it, but I will tell you, every given month, we need about $472 million to pay the bills, to send out to state agencies to run their shop, et cetera. That money was not there due to these revenue failures. So really what the financial director, Preston Dorfinger, has the authority to tap into funds to make sure that we pay all of our bills. And that's what he's done. And quite frankly, he's tapped into the rainy day fund. There's about $250 million in that fund, but we have to pay that fund back, and it will be paid back when we receive the income taxes that'll be coming in April the 15th. That'll be absolutely not one of the first things. It just absolutely must be paid back and will be paid back, period. However, there are those out there that are saying, did he have the authority to do that? Could he have done that? I know the Speaker is frustrated that the House wasn't informed. I get that. I didn't know about it till after the fact, as well as being an AB chairman and the revenue chairman. I didn't know about it till after the fact. But again, I'm of the opinion he has the authority to pay the bills. But I want everybody to know, no matter what you read, what you hear, you can be frustrated about it, but rest assured, pat me on the back or a wink or trust us on this. By law, that money has to go back, and it will go back. After all, it's the taxpayers' dollars. It's in the rainy day fund, and we have to replenish that fund. I think our time is out. Ben, you've done a great job. The only thing is, you've interrupted us far too much, Ben.
Oh, my goodness.
Far too much.
Some of the questions were just too difficult.
Oh, right. My goodness.
And
oh.
Representative Daniels, I don't know if I'm offended when you said we won't have any dead air. I personally am, you know, I'm kind of low-key, back of the room, don't want to talk. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, thank you, Philip 66, for sponsoring this show. Ben, we'll see you next time. You did a great job.
Absolutely. Thank you all. Thank you for all what you do. This is Capital Call, K1.
Thanks for listening to